Before we begin today's show, I have some important news to share with you. Premier Insight's financial year ends on June the 30th, and it's vital we close a final funding gap of $94,000 by that date. The great news is generous friends of the ministry have offered a new $5,000 matching grant, which will double your gift today up to that amount. That's why I wanted to take just a moment before we get into today's podcast to ask for your help. If you would, please take a moment today to give your best gift at premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. That's premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. Thank you for understanding how important your gift is today and for giving generously. And now it's time for today's podcast.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Thank you for listening to the show that brings you the thought and theology of C.S. Lewis with me, Ruth Jackson. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources and podcasts. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. But now for today's show. I am delighted to be joined today by Jim Stockton, Emeritus Lecturer in Philosophy at Boise State University in Idaho. He's recently written a very exciting new book, The Oxford University Socratic Club, 1942 to 1972, A Life. We're going to be talking to Jim about his work, as well as sharing a paper and a workshop that he presented at the 2024 Undiscovered C.S. Lewis Conference, which was held at George Fox University. The title of Jim's paper was Beside the Meetings, the Oxford University Socratic Club's Lesser Known Events. And the title of his workshop there was Research Opportunities and the Oxford University Socratic Club, 1942 to 1972. What you are about to hear is Jim's paper from the 2024 Undiscovered C.S. Lewis Conference, which was held at George Fox University. The title of his paper was Besides the Meetings, the Oxford University Socratic Club's Lesser Known Events.
The Oxford University Socratic Club is primarily known for its meetings and debates. From 1942 to 1972, the Socratic hosted 476 meetings, at which 327 different scholars and professionals spoke to the membership. As impressive as this might be, the Socratic also instigated or was involved in many other activities and events. I will share four of these events, briefly explaining what occurred. At the end of my presentation, I will offer a few words on the research opportunities these events have to offer. The first event is the March 13th through 16th, 1943 Socratic Conference held at the Old Jordans Hostel in Jordans Beaconsfield, Buckinghamshire. The county of Buckinghamshire is directly east of Oxfordshire, making for a short commute to the hostel. In the 17th century, the village of Jordans was a center for the Quaker community, who built what is now one of the oldest meeting houses in England. Initially, C.S. Lewis, Canon Lawrence Grinstead, Reverend F.C. Bryan, and Dr. Kosterlitz were scheduled as speakers. But for reasons that aren't entirely clear, most likely illness, Bryan and Kosterlitz left early and did not offer a lecture. In total, 29 people attended. 25 of the conferees were women, with Lewis Grinstead and two male students making up the difference. Lewis spoke first, most likely on Sunday the 14th, on the topic of presuppositions of faith. Lewis began by defining faith as continuing to believe what you believe to be true as a judgment, not by demonstrative paths. One soundly made, meaning your judgment, hold on to it in the teeth of passions. Lewis then offers a line from Swift. We aren't rational animals, but capable of rationality. Swift's statement was expressed in a 29 September 1725 letter to Alexander Pope and reads, "I have got materials toward a treatise proving the falsity of that definition of man as animal rationale, and to show it would be only able to reason." Lewis expanded upon this thought with, "We are disordered, we are amphibians. A, first we are animals, and we are also B, reasoning spirits, a wonderful state of being, able to enjoy both worlds, but we're pulled apart. Formally, faith is," Lewis says, "A, a judgment on good grounds, and B, an act of will to retain it, fluctuation of passions, etc., until or unless real, to nourish it." In her notes, Aldwinkle underlined the word real, signifying that it has a particular meaning for Lewis. A further explanation will be given here shortly. Lewis's second presentation of the 43 conference was on the church. It begins with a first-person account of his engagement with the church's authority and doctrines. Lewis would tell, commented to the audience that there was far more ecclesiasm, or the church's presence, than I wished to find in the historical documents, is what he's referring to. He claimed that he was shocked to discover that the church or early Christianity was not a society of equals, and that people joining in the prayers for capital punishment. Lewis is referring to a story shared in Acts of Apostles, chapter 5, wherein we are told that in the early church there was a married couple, Ananias and Sapphira, it's my pronunciation, it's probably much different, who died suddenly after lying to the Holy Spirit about money. After a few humorous remarks, Lewis implies that in some aspects, the church answers to an anthropological definition of cult, and is, in an odd sense, the church is the most pagan thing surviving in the 20th century. This woke me up, Lewis says, to the fact that if God is so much greater than gods, at least he is not less. Acts of worship I've been robbed of over the centuries ago, of my heritage of being a full man. Now that's the broken notes that Aldwinkle took down. I interpret that to mean that we lost something with our pagan identity of the past. But Lewis doesn't imply, of course, we should go back to paganism. The second Socratic conference, billed as a weekend conference on Christian faith, whereas the first wasn't billed that way, and I'm a little suspicious they billed it as a conference on Christian faith to let the community know what it was going to be about. Because by that time, the Socratic Club has become very popular, and they would need a little guidance. It was held on March 17th through the 20th in 1945 at Ridley Hall, Cambridge. The conference flyer announced that the speakers were C.S. Lewis, Eric Fenn, and F.C. Bryan. The roster shows 28 people attended. 33 of the conferees were women, who were joined by 5 men, Lewis, Bryan, Fenn, and 2 different male students than what we had at the 43 conference. Lewis would speak first, and he would again address the first conference subject of presuppositions of faith. After his early comments, Lewis states that with naturalism, nothing exists except nature, which he associates with democracy. In contrast to this position is the supernaturalist who believes in a self-existent God that Lewis associates with a monarchy. These statements are very similar to those in Lewis's 1947 book, Miracles, a Preliminary Study. And we know that Lewis was done with the book by 1945 in a letter he mailed to Sister Penelope. From here, he brings forward several considerations. Lewis tells his audience, we mostly think about things, not about thinking. This I call truncated thinking. Very useful for science, but we mustn't forget that the microscope, my thinking, supernatural, either is a rational cause myself or dependent on rational, self-existent creator. This is the logical sphere. Same applies to the moral sphere. My combination as bad or cruel implied a supernatural standpoint, going back to an absolute good. And this is also similar to some of the things he argues for in Miracles.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
We're going to take a quick break now, but if you are enjoying today's show, please do consider rating it and leaving a review on your podcast platform so that other people can discover it too.
I just wanted to quickly remind you that Premier Insight has been offered a new $5,000 matching grant that will double your gift today up to that amount. And right now, that's an incredible blessing, as there is a final funding gap of $94,000 that must be closed before the end of our financial year on June the 30th. This show depends fully on the generosity of friends like you. So I'm asking you to please give your very best gift right now to close this gap, knowing your gift will be doubled. You can give now at premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. Thank you.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Welcome back to the show. We would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Do get in touch on social media at Premier Unbelievable. Now let's return to the conversation.
Lewis's remark on truncated thinking, useful for science, are his way of reminding his audience that scientific thinking is not the superior means of attaining knowledge. Our own reason is much more promising than empirical investigation because it is dependent upon a rational, self-existent creator or God. I've often wondered how far he could have gone with truncated thinking if he had taken that over to his colleagues in philosophy. That's something I think they would have found to be very interesting. The conferees reconvened at 4:30 p.m. to hear Reverend Eric Finn. Eric Finn was a Presbyterian minister and the BBC's assistant head of religious broadcasting. He would speak on faith in Christ. In his talk, Finn points out that the first stage is to accept Christ as Jesus Nazareth teacher and to act on it. Finn warns his audience that his demands are shattering, but they lead to stage two, the Christ. At this juncture in his presentation, Finn brings up the effect his two stages can bring about, saying, both scientific outlook and normal views of history are thereby called in question. Scientific facts, which to the world look merely bizarre. And then Finn's broader point is rather straightforward. With radical change in one's perspective, we are made one with God. So science can lead you to a bizarre conclusion, such as quantum physics, that can be confusing. God will give you clarity. C.S. Lewis would speak again on the church, the same as he had done in 43. He begins his distinction between thick and clear judgment, both philosophical and rational. But in Hinduism, he brings up, only side by side, like oil and water. Christianity and its philosophical side mostly do deal with life as is mixed as if it were wine and water. The wall between primitive and civilized child and adult are broken down. Lewis changes the topic and tells his audience, family is the best image. accept other Christians as you accept unchosen relatives. On Monday evening at 8 p.m., Frank Collins Bryan would offer his last lecture, The Consequences of Faith. Bryan's talk begins with a reference to the 12 apostles and Christ's mission, pointing out that after 3 years, he, meaning Christ, built them into unity, imparted his spirit to them, and reconciled them to each other. From here, his focus moved toward the spirit is love, the love of Jesus. And he ended up, of course, making the association that the conferees are like the apostles, and it's about sharing Christ's love. The third example of those events that occurred outside of the club's regular meetings are the teas that Allwinkle hosted, often held on Thursday or Friday afternoon. Now, two of the handouts will be fun to look at as I go to this, and I'll give you a cue for that. And he goes, many of these teas included a conversation on the topic that was presented to the Socratic at the last meeting. So someone would come and lecture on something on Monday, on Thursday or Friday, tea with Allwinkle, discuss it further. Anscombe, in a letter to Wittgenstein, I believe it was, points out this was what she liked about the Socratic Club and why she wanted to be involved in the club, was the further discussion. And also they had discussion after the presentation. I write about this in my book on the Socratic Club, that this whole idea of discussion following a lecture is relatively new in the 1940s. And Lewis picked up on it with his talk to the RAF and other, you know, what you might call commonly educated people during the war, such as when he's doing his broadcast. The third, in the prefatory pages, and you'll find this on the handout, of Socratic Digest number 3, which was published in the summer of 1945, there is a separate section titled Study Group on Introduction to the Philosophical Background of Socratic Questions. Beneath this, there are two sections for Term 1 and Term 2. Now, on your handout, it's of the digest, the one with the two rings on the cover. And that one, that digest, along with two other, were gifted to me by Mary Midgley, the philosopher, and those were her husband Jeff's copies. And I got a hold of the other two Socratic digests, and my wife and I gifted the 5 digests we had to Boise State's archives. So if you need to see the Socratic digest, come to Boise. And beneath this, there are these two sections, and the listings for Term 1 are preceded by the question, what is the nature of the real? This is followed by a 4-point outline that reads as follows. And there's a front and back handout going around where it gives you a clear picture of it, because the Socratic Digest is kind of fuzzy. Not my best shot when I was taking pictures. 1, classical answers leading to the problem of knowledge. How do we know the real? 2, Plato and Aristotle, Aquinas, the critical movement, Descartes to Kant. Term 2 offers the following list. The critical movement, logical positivism, Christian metaphysics, man's knowledge of God by reason and by faith, the Neo-Thomists. Man's knowledge of God by faith only, the Barthinians. I think that's how it's pronounced. In addition to what it was printed on in Socratic Digest number 3, Allwinkle prepared a type handout with the title Socratic Study Group, Introduction to the Philosophical Background of Socratic Questions. All the aforementioned content in the third digest is given first. Then she gives the detail to the time and the weeks and the term and where to go. She also says that philosophers who are being asked to give talks are Dr. Lambert, Dr. Wiseman, and the Reverend A.M. Ferrer. That's Austin Ferrer, the great philosophical theologian of the 20th century. How often this study group met and who spoke to the students is unknown. Throughout its history, the club often met outside of regular meetings, primarily to discuss philosophy and help members study philosophy. How am I on? 2 minutes left? Okay. I'm going to wrap it up there and tell you this bit about the real. And I'll just let you take a look at the bit about disarmament on one of the handouts. While the phrase the real might strike some as awkward, for Lewis it had a specific meaning. In his 2022 book, The Lion's Country, C.S. Lewis's Theory of the Real, Charlie Starr explains that per Lewis's argument, when one experiences the real, quoting Charlie, full reality enters into him and he transforms into a real person for the first time in his life. He is filled with the water, the light, the glory, the beauty of God. He has become real. That, Lewis would say, is humanity's deepest desire, our deepest longing. That's what we want more than anything this pale world has to offer. In short, central to C.S. Lewis's theory of reality is that you and I aren't yet real enough. And this reminds a lot of people of Plato. Charlie deals with that rather well. I think he's on to a very interesting theory, and it has philosophical legs, and I think it might go somewhere. I'm going to stop there by just sharing a real quick story. I just spoke recently to the Socratic Club at Gonzaga University, and when I talked about the real and Charlie's book in the queue, a question and answer, the kids in particular were really interested in C.S. Lewis's mystical experience. Thank you.
That was Jim Stockton's paper, Beside the Meetings, the Oxford University Socratic Club's Lesser Known Events, which was given at the 2024 Undiscovered C.S. Lewis Conference, held at George Fox University. Thank you for listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast with me, Ruth Jackson. Many of the topics that we've touched on today are discussed in greater detail on earlier episodes of the programme. Check out our archive of past shows at premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, videos, and podcasts. Plus, if you register on our website or sign up for our newsletter there, then you will get exclusive access to new content, free resources, and more. That's premierunbelievable.com. What did you think of today's show? Are there any topics or works of C.S. Lewis that you would like us to explore next? We would love to hear from you. Send us an email, unbelievable@premier.org.uk. Connect with us on X, formerly known as Twitter, @premierunbelievablefe, or drop us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook @premierunbelievable. We have also recently launched on TikTok, so if that's your thing, or you know anyone else who might be interested, then you can find us there @premier.unbelievable. Your feedback and thoughts are so important to us, so please get in touch. If you're enjoying the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it on whatever platform you're listening on, as it helps more people to discover the show. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.